His eyesight stayed good right up to the end, but he said that looking at the iPhone screen gave him a headache. At the reception following the funeral, Doc Goodwin told me that Pop might have suffered a series of mini strokes leading up to the big one. Around the time he gave up his phone, this would have been 5 or 6 years before he died, I took early retirement from my position as Castle County School Superintendent and went to work for my dad full-time. There was plenty to do. He had a housekeeper, but those duties fell to me at night and on the weekends. I helped him dress in the morning and undress at night. I did most of the cooking and cleaned up the occasional mess when Pop couldn't make it to the bathroom in the middle of the night. He had a handyman as well, but by then Jimmy Griggs was pushing 80 himself, and so I found myself doing the chores Jimmy didn't get around to. Everything from mulching Pop's treasured flower beds to plunging out the drains when they got clogged. Assisted living was never discussed, although God knows Pop could have afforded it. A dozen mega best-selling novels over 40 years had left him very well off. The last of his engaging doorstoppers, Donatart, New York Times, was published when Pop was 82. He did the obligatory round of interviews, sat for the obligatory photos, and then announced his retirement. To the press, he did so graciously with his trademark humor, Ron Charles, Washington Post. To me, he said, "Thank God the bullshit's finished." With the exception of the informal picket fence interview he gave Ruth Crawford, he never spoke for the record again. He was asked many times and always refused. Claimed he'd said all he had to say, including some things he probably should have kept to himself. "You give enough interviews," he told me once, "and you are bound to stick your foot in your mouth a time or two. Those are the quotes that last, and the older you are, the more likely it becomes." Yet his books continue to sell, so his business affairs continued. I went over the contract renewals, cover concepts, and the occasional movie or TV option with him, and I dutifully read every interview proposal once he was incapable of reading them himself. He always said no, and that included Ruth Crawford's proposal. "Give her the standard response, Mark. Flattered to be asked, but no thanks." He hesitated, though, because this one was a little different. Crawford wanted to write a piece about my father and his longtime friend, David Butch LaVerdure, who died in 2019. Pop and I went to his funeral on the West Coast in a chartered Gulfstream. Pop was always close with his money, not stingy, but close, and the whopping expense of that round trip said a lot about his feeling for the man I grew up calling Uncle Butch. That feeling held strong, although the two men hadn't seen each other face to face in 10 years or more. Pop was asked to speak at the funeral. I didn't think he would. His rejection of the public spotlight spread in all directions, not just interviews. But he did it. He didn't go to the podium, only stood up where he was with the help of his cane. He was always a good speaker, and that didn't change with age. "Butch and I were kids going to a one-room schoolhouse before the Second World War. We grew up in a no-stoplight, dirt road town, fixing cars, patching them up, playing sports, and then coaching them. As men, we took part in town politics and maintained the town dump. Very similar jobs now that I think about it. We hunted, we fished, we put out grass fires in the summer, and plowed the town roads in the winter. Knocked over a right smart of mailboxes doing it, too. I knew him when no one knew his name, or mine, outside of a 20-mile radius. I should have come to see him these last years, but I was busy with my own affairs. I thought to myself, there's time. We always think that, I guess. Then time runs out. Butch was a fine artist, but he was also a good man. I think that's more important. Maybe some here don't, and that's all right. That's all right. Thing is, I always had his back, and he always had mine." He paused, head down, thinking. "In my little main town, there's a..."